It's a delight to be here with you this morning, to see all your faces. And Wynn and I just counted a real joy. You're our family. And as your pastor said, many of you have been there to visit us, and we so much enjoy the time we get to spend together. And what an encouragement is to the churches as you go and preach the gospel, and what an encouragement it is. The church in Merida sends their greetings, and they would, one of these days, we'll all be together. One of these days, we'll all be together. Today, your pastor asked me what text to read from, and I told him what text I was going to preach from, and he read it. I didn't know he was going to preach it. He brought out my points. But I pray the Lord will bless the word. Just reading it is such a blessing. The text this morning is in Psalm 130. Psalm 130. And I do pray the Lord will bless his word. Without him, we can do nothing. Without his spirit blessing his word, we can do nothing. There are some people in this world who have hope, who have a real hope, who have a blessed hope, sure hope. There are a lot of people in this world, many, who have no hope. In fact, those of you this morning who have that blessed hope, at one time, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, at one time you were without Christ. At one time you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Without Christ is without hope. A person that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ has no hope. He is the only hope. Hope of salvation. But I want to ask this morning, in Psalm 130, who are the people who have a reason for hope? Who are the people who have reason for hope? If you will, turn with me to Psalm chapter 130. I'll read it. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Who is the person who has a reason for hope? Look in verse 1. Here's the first person, the first characteristic of a person who truly has reason to hope. It says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. True sinners. Sinners have a reason to hope. Sinners. We know all men are sinners by nature. All men are sinners by nature. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But not everybody is made to know. Not everybody is made to know. A sinner is a sacred thing, a holy thing. The Holy Spirit reveals this to us in the preaching of the gospel. When Christ is revealed at the light of the glory of Christ, we see ourselves as undone sinners. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. This is not a mere assent that I'm a sinner. Because everybody, if you pin them against the wall, they'll say, oh yeah, I've done some bad things. I've lied. Well, isn't that what the Bible says? It says sin. Well, I guess I'm a sinner. That's not what it's talking about. That's not what it's talking about. This is out of the depths. This is true understanding that in me there is no soundness. In me there dwells no good thing. That from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, there's nothing but putrefying sores. All my thoughts, my nature are against God. All my actions are against God. There's no goodness in me. No hope. Out of the depths, heartfelt conviction that there's no goodness in me. As long as a person thinks that there's something by which he may be commend himself to God, he will not cry. He will not cry to God. Therefore, he does not have hope. Only a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He did not call the just, come to save the righteous, but sinners. Call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. This is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was made sin for us on the cross. But this is, and I must say in degree, I am convinced that none of us understands the depthness or the utter blackness of our sin. I do believe that if we were to able to see it, it would drive us to despair. No one is driven to the Lord Jesus Christ by seeing his sinfulness. They're driven to the Lord Jesus Christ by seeing his beauty. When we see his beauty, we're drawn to him. And we see ourselves. But the Lord said here in Psalm chapter 40, verse 12 says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. My iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. There are more than the hairs of mine head, therefore my heart faileth me." Sins taken hold of me. Do you know what that is? A person who is a sinner has true hope. How about unbelief, the depths of unbelief? Out of the depths of unbelief, misery. Out of the depths of unbelief, our thoughts, our pride. These are the ones who have hope because the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, the chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body? I thank God through Christ Jesus." These are the people who have hope, true sinners. And notice, it says here in our text, out of the depths of sin, these are the people who have hope. "Have I cried unto thee?" Cried. When a person is brought to understand that there is no hope within themselves, that's when they'll cry to the one who can save. Cry unto the Lord. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." Can you see Bartimaeus along the way? Bartimaeus in his blindness. Bartimaeus in his darkness, sitting there by the wayside. He had heard that one named Jesus of Nazareth was going about healing all manner of diseases, giving sight to the blind, healing all manner of leprosy. And he heard, sitting in his darkness, sitting in his inability. And he sat there, and one day he heard a commotion. People were making noise, and he said, "What's going on?" And they said, "It's Jesus of Nazareth. He's walking by." And you know what he said? He said, "Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." out of the depths of his darkness, he cried unto the Lord. Notice it says here, have I cried unto thee, O Lord? A person has hope who cries unto thee, O Lord. Unto the one who can save. Unto the one who can save. Have mercy on me, O Lord, that blind man said. Who call on the name of the Lord. Those are the people who have hope. Our Lord said this in Isaiah 45, verse 20. He says, they have no knowledge who set up the wood of their graven image and pray to a God who cannot save. If a person may realize he's a rotten sinner, therefore, by definition, he say, well, I agree, I'm a sinner. And I know I need to be delivered. But if he's calling on a God who cannot save, there's no hope. There's no hope in this Jesus that is preached in many places, who they say is a Savior that wants to save but cannot save unless you let him. There is no hope. A false Christ will get a person lost just as well as a no Christ. They have no knowledge, they that set up the wood of their graven image and pray to a God that cannot save. The person has hope who calls on the name of the Lord. This is why we preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. He is the only one that can save. Unto thee do I cry, O Lord. The one that has authority to save. The one that has power to save. All sin is committed against God. And only God has the right to forgive sin. Only God has the right to do so. Our Lord, these men brought this man that was paralyzed, brought him on a stretcher. And our Lord looked at him and in mercy said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the religious leaders were standing around and they said, this man's blaspheming. How could he say that? No man can forgive sin, but only God. They were thinking that. And in their assessment, they were right. Only God has a right to forgive sin. All sin is committed against God and only He can forgive it. And only through the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. By no other means, no other way. But our Lord Jesus Christ said to these men, she said, what is easier to say? Words are cheap. Words are cheap. What's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you? People all around the world today are hearing. They go into a little box and they pull a little curtain and they talk about all the bad things they do. They feel bad. And a man on the other side of the box says, your sins are forgiven you. Well, are they? Words are cheap. Brother, what if I offend you? You know who I'm talking to. What if I offend you? I don't want to offend you. But then Brother Todd says, oh, don't worry about it. You have something to say about that, don't you? Say, wait a minute, he offended me. You don't have a right to tell him, don't worry about it. All sin is committed against God. Only God has a right to forgive sin. But our Lord said to this man, he said, what's easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or take up your bed and walk? Now, you got to back your words up. Back your words up. And he said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins right now. I am God, and I have the right to forgive sins. I can forgive them and still be just and still be God. He says to the man, take up your bed and walk. Get out of here. The man got up and walked out. He is the one who has power to save by his blood, by his obedience, his righteousness. He's the one who has the right to do so. Out of thee, out of the depths, have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Cry unto the one who can save. Not to Mary, not to a man, not to a priest, not to a church, not to a denomination, not to a creed, unto thee, O Lord, do I cry. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, when the religions got this backwards, they say, repeat this after me, and then the Lord's going to save you. Call on the name of the Lord, and the Lord's going to... It's awful. It's like he's bound to save you now, because didn't you repeat this prayer? They've got it backwards. The reason a man can call on the Lord is because the Lord already did something for him. Those that call on the name of the Lord, first of all, have been made to know their misery. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Out of the depths, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the first thing that the Lord said to Ananias when Saul of Tarsus was converted. Saul of Tarsus was a religious Pharisee. And the Lord said this about the religious Pharisees. They like to pray all the time. They like to stand on the corner and give long recitations, prayer. He'd been doing that all along. That was his righteousness. That's what he trusted in. But you know what the Lord told Ananias when the Lord converted Paul? He said, go find Paul. And he said, I've heard about Saul of Tarsus. He said, go. He prayeth. He's calling on the Lord. He's calling on the Lord. A person has reason for hope who first is a true sinner, who secondly calls on the name of the Lord, calls on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that can save. He is the Lord. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Here's a third thing I see here. Lord, hear my voice. A person has good hope when he understands who he is by nature, by practice, by choice, who comes to the Lord, and he comes as a beggar. You notice it says here, Lord, hear the voice, let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. There's good hope for a person that comes humbly before the Lord. No, the Lord does not owe anybody salvation. It's mercy. It's sovereign mercy. Let thy voice be attentive to the voice of my supplication. I come as a beggar seeking mercy. What David is doing here is judging himself. Personal judgment. Let thy voice be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, Lord, who shall stand? Mercy is for the guilty. Mercy is for the guilty. If we judge ourselves, the scripture says, we will not be judged. It says here, Lord, let thy voice be attentive to the voice of my supplication. We come as beggars. It's not, I'm going to let Jesus save me. It's not, I'm going to let him save me. No, we come pleading mercy. That leper that came down from the mountain, he came to the Lord. He didn't say, I've heard you heal other people. I think I'm going to let you heal me. That's not how he came. And listen, the Lord has saved millions of people. You know he delights to show mercy. You and I know he delights. He has saved all the people that are in heaven right now. He saved them. They're saved. He's a Savior that delights to show mercy. But you and I are going to come as beggars. Or we're not going to come. Or we don't have any hope. He saves his people. We come judging ourselves. No man is going to seek mercy. No man is going to come for grace until he knows that he is guilty. David is saying this, Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? A person has hope. A person has hope who convicts himself. Is convicted. I'm guilty. Lord, if you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? When we talk about sin, people a lot of times think about big sin. They call big sin, little transgression. But you know, our iniquities, as men see it, are the things we fell in our good deeds, in our religious deeds. Sin is who we are by nature. Transgressions is all things we do, breaking God's law all the time. Our iniquities, that's your good things. That's my good things. A man is going, if the Lord should call me before his presence and judge me for my best prayer. Have you ever thought, that was a good prayer? That was a good prayer. It's full of sin. It's full of iniquity. And David is saying, if you should call me before your presence, I'm full of iniquity. Who shall stand? No one can stand. If you should, the person who has a hope is that person that has no hope in himself. That's a person that has hope. That person that has no hope in himself and his only hope is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you should call me to answer for one thing, there's no hope for me and no hope for anybody. The only hope is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's his faithfulness. It's his righteousness that saves us. Notice, a person has good hope who believes God's word. Verse 4. A person has a reason for hope who believes God's word. Notice what it says here. But there is forgiveness with thee. Where did he get that from? There is forgiveness with thee. He got that from his word. We have no right to say anything of God that God hasn't said first of himself. That would be idolatry. Look at Exodus chapter 34. Moses had seen the mighty works of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Well, I told you to go to Exodus and I went to Genesis. It helps if I go the same place. Moses saw all the miracles that the Lord wrought by him, by his mighty power. And yet Moses asked the question of the Lord, request, says, Lord, show me your glory. Show me your chief glory, your greatest glory. And the Lord said, I'll show you my glory. I'll hide you in a cliff of a rock, because no man will see my face and live. When I go by, I'll take my hand off and you'll see my hinder parts, my back, because no man will see my face and live. You know where we see the glory of God? In the face of Jesus Christ. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness to shine in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But he passed by that day and he told Moses, I'm going to declare my name. That's my glory. Who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And it says in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's God saying what His chief glory is. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that by no means will clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the children's children, and the third and fourth generation. If a person understands how God is the judge, and God is merciful, and He's just in Jesus Christ. He says, I will by no means clear the guilty. That's you and me. He says, I'll have mercy. Do you have hope that He have mercy on you? How? In the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in Him. When God made Him to be sin for His people, who knew no sin, that His people, we, may be made the righteousness of God in Him. That is how God can be both just and justifier, everyone that comes to God by Him. Well, God says this in His Word. A person has a right, or excuse me, I should not say the word right, but has a good reason for hope. A good reason. The one who believes God. The one who believes God's Word. He says, there is forgiveness with thee. But there is. But. That word but. Such a precious word. You at one time were dead in trespasses and sins. Says in Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love where He loved us, even when we're dead, quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved. But God. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. This message of grace promotes and produces gratitude in the heart of God's people. Thou mayest be feared. It does not produce, as some slanderously say, a licentious living. There's enough of that already in everyone by nature. The grace of God has appeared, teaching us to deny ungodliness, live in this world soberly. But it says here, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be worshipped, feared, worshipped. That's a person who has hope. The one who believes God concerning His Son, that there is forgiveness. How does God say in His Word that God can forgive sin? There is forgiveness. Where is that forgiveness found? There is forgiveness. Forgiveness is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, in His sacrifice. There is forgiveness, but only in Him, and only in His sacrifice. But that person who looks to God's Word and says, there's forgiveness with you, God, in the person of your Son, that person has good reason to hope. Notice, it says here, number 5, those who believe, they have good reason to hope. And verse 5 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. A person has good reason to hope because salvation is of the Lord. I wait for the Lord. I know that salvation's of the Lord. I wait on Him. The religion talks about trying to convince people that they're sinners, then they try to give them something to do. They say salvation's of the Lord, then they give them step 1, 2, and 3. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Believe on Him. Wait. Don't do a thing. Person says, well, I think I gotta start doing this, and I gotta change this habit, and I gotta do the other. You're trusting in what you do. But wait on the Lord. Call on Him, Lord, save me. I wait on the Lord. A person that waits on the Lord, that person has a reason for hope. I got to hurry. And notice that person who waits continually. That person who continues to wait. That person who continues to wait. Salvation is not an isolated event. You know, you made your profession of faith, you baptized, you joined the church, and I know I'm saved. This person that has this condition, the person who knows he's a sinner, who's been convinced by the Lord, the person who out of the depths cries unto the Lord, who is coming as a beggar, who knows that there's forgiveness with him, that person that has waited on the Lord continues to wait on the Lord. You see, we do believe that salvation's of the Lord from eternity past to eternity future. We do believe that we were saved when God purposed to save his people. We do believe that we were saved when the Lord Jesus Christ came and wrought out salvation by his doing and dying on the cross. We do believe that we were saved when the Holy Spirit breathed into us and gave us life, and the evidence of that life is faith that we may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we do believe we're being saved. We're being saved. You know, you're kept by the power of God through faith. That if the Lord took his hand away from us for a moment, we would fall. We were kept by the power of God. We continue to wait on the Lord. We keep waiting until that day comes when we open our eyes in his presence. David said this. He said, I'll be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. When I see your face. That's when I'll be plumb saved. Completely saved. Saved from the very presence of sin. Those persons have hope that continue. These all died in faith. They have a good hope. They have a good hope. Notice it says here, I wait more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope. Let all God's people hope. These are the people that have hope, a reason for hope. And now the psalmist says, let all Israel hope. Let all God's people, all his chosen, all those he loved with everlasting love. Let all Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. With the Lord there is mercy, and with him plenteous redemption. He saves to the uttermost. There's mercy. Mercy. His mercies are new every morning. And there's plenteous redemption. That is to say, you're not just barely saved. You're saved with a glorious salvation. An ample entrance into the kingdom. Speak comfortably, the Lord says in Isaiah 40. Speak comfortably to the heart of my people. Tell them their warfare is over. Tell them they've received double for all their transgressions. Pardon for sin and a righteousness, the righteousness of God himself. It's not like you're just sneaking in. Have you ever been to a place and you thought, well, I just sneak in? I have. I don't want to be really seen there because I know that... You know, I really didn't need to be there. But I just kind of hope nobody notices I'm there. No, that's not the way his people enter into his presence. We enter into his presence in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let all Israel hope in the Lord. For the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall... Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. That person who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, whose hope is him. You know, the scriptures say Jesus Christ in you is the hope of glory. In you is the hope of glory. Our hope is not in a... Somebody wanted to talk to me about their... Had their... What do you call that? Certificate of they were baptized. That's supposed to prove something, don't you know? Certificate of their baptism. But you know, when you come before God, you better have more than a piece of paper in your hand that says you're a member of a church, or that you made a profession of faith, or that you lived all your life doing good works and stuff. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you. He shall redeem his people from their sins, from their iniquities. Those are the people who have reason to hope. May the Lord bless his word. Thank you, brother.